This is Jonalu Johnstone, the developmental minister at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Manhattan, Kansas. Vacation as spiritual discipline. A series in the Kathy comic strip about vacationing caught my eye, perhaps because it was really about the opposite. In one sequence, a vacationing colleague calls Kathy to ask her to fax him a deal he had left her in charge of. In another, the only messages left for the boss are emails, faxes, and cell phone messages from vacationing employees assuring him they're easy to access if he needs anything from them, for anything. This little series went on quite a while. You'd almost think they were onto some kind of phenomenon. Then I read a business column whose author was upset at executives who do not get back to a newspaper columnist within a day of their phone call. That's not good enough for business these days, the columnist asserts, and goes on to describe how one person called her back from the Olympic Stadium while watching a gymnastics meet. To which I say, oh, come on, get over yourself. Are we really so hooked into the working world that we can't escape a day or two? Or even watch a sports competition in peace without the interference of a phone call? We may have lost some of our ability to take vacation as seriously as it deserves. There was, it seems, a time when, well, there was more time. When people had dinner together every night, when Sunday meant gathering with family and taking it easy, when weekends weren't frantic and going on vacation meant you were away from it all. I fear we've lost the capacity or even the inclination to let go and be gone. And with that, we've lost some important spiritual connections. That's why I want to reclaim the spiritual discipline of vacation. We could blame our drift from the sanctity of peaceful escape on the technology era, the instant access provided by cell phones and emails and social media, the changing expectations of availability, the fraying of boundaries between home and work. Yet I know we're fighting a bigger issue, a human drive. This problem did not start with the internet or even with the telephone. I'm certain of that because there have always been religious strictures that push us to let go of all that distracts us from genuine living. And that's what I think the Jewish Sabbath laws are about. I'm not just talking about rest. Of course we understand the need for rest, for a break. Everyone knows that a good night's sleep makes most problems easier to tackle. And when the mind just isn't on top, even a 5-minute stretch on the couch can do wonders. What we're after here, though, is bigger than that. The biblical book of Leviticus, part of the Torah, lays out these demands and fits them into an even larger calendar of taking it easy. Every 7th year, says Leviticus 25, you shouldn't work the land. You can eat anything that just naturally grows on it, but tilling, planting, harvesting, all out. This is the origin of our sabbatical, that is, the academic and religious practice of taking significant time away from the regular working grind every 7 years. Now, this may seem esoteric to you. Who cares what rules a group of tribal people put together 600 or 700 years before the Common Era? Well, it matters because it reminds us that there has always been a need to tell people to stop, to chill, to take a break, a breather. Episcopal priest Barbara Brown Taylor has been practicing a weekly Sabbath for years. She sees it as quite different from the brief breaks most of us try to take. In an article in Christian Century titled Sabbath Resistance, she says, plenty of us take an hour here or there and call it Sabbath, which is like driving 5 miles to town and calling it Europe. Taylor writes that for the first couple of years of Sabbath keeping, her mind swam with questions. Does looking at a catalog count as shopping? Is puttering in the garden work if I'm just entertaining myself? By the third year, she became capable of resting without leaving home, letting all the work go when Sabbath comes. She now describes Sabbath as an experience of divine love that swamps both body and soul. It's hard for contemporary people to understand such an experience occurring on a weekly basis. For many of us, even occasionally achieving it seems improbable. Summer, though, summer may be our opportunity to stretch our minds around this concept. Authors Gary Schmidt and Susan Felch have compiled what they call a spiritual biography of summer. In summer, they say, time does not seem to move. Instead, time collects. Or perhaps it might be better said to pool, to halt in our headlong rush, to be fully in a particular time, to stop long enough to see what lies around us rather than to be always merely glimpsing. So maybe now, in the summer, we can construct for ourselves this new, renewing sense of time. There's a reason that we're ready for vacation. There are lessons we can learn here. Vacation invites us to go out and play. Remember going out to play when you were a child? You didn't go out with any intention beyond play. And something happened. Maybe it was ball, maybe it was house, maybe it was making mud pies or climbing trees or chasing lightning bugs. Whatever, it simply came into being from the gathered children or from you alone. Play is spontaneous, fresh, lively, and refreshing. As adults, we play when we set out to follow Route 66 and see what comes along, or walk down an unfamiliar street to see where it leads, or stream walk in the creek more than alongside it, when we remember how to plop down on the ground and stare up through the trees and watch the clouds drift by. Some of us can set aside our adult judgments and play freely with our children or grandchildren. Play, it's been said, is the work of children, what teaches them about the world. For us grown-ups, it's our refreshment. Vacations remind us to play. And there are no Sabbath strictures around it, no matter what our puritanical forebears may have said. Significant in playfulness is spontaneity. Part of what vacation frees us from is our regular routines. We don't have to get up at our usual time. We eat different things, and when we feel like it, not on a schedule. We try something new, scuba diving or rock climbing or painting with watercolors. With nothing pressing to do, we notice the texture of the moss on rocks or the exact shade of blue of the lake. We take time to follow the song of the finch and try to catch a glimpse of bright feathers. Robbed of our routines, vacation demands spontaneity. Sometimes we become most productive by letting go of the need to produce. Creativity, particularly, does not come when we are pressed for time. Rather, it grows out of the void, the emptiness, boredom, the same place that produces play, lightness, and spontaneity. Every creative artist knows that you have to let go and play with the ideas, the materials, and the arrangements to get there. You can't force it. How often do we keep ourselves from doing nothing because we are convinced we have too much we have to do? We only let loose, go on vacation, or even take time in our everyday lives if we can trust the world to go on accomplishing what it needs to get done without us. But it turns out that we are not actually crucial to the world staying on course. We become wrapped up in believing that our particular work, our peculiar approach is required, or all hell will break loose. It's not true. This is not to say that what we do doesn't matter. We have to have a sense of purpose in our lives, an idea that we are making a real and valid contribution. The problem comes when we are so steeped in ego that we lose sight of our relatively small place in the scheme of the universe. Too easily, we get caught up in earning money and producing things, essentially in making idols. Often our egos are so tied to our achievements that they're very hard to release. That's why one of the spiritual lessons of vacation is letting go of our normal drive to achieve, to produce, to accomplish, and instead simply to be. It requires humility to understand that others will find a way to take over what we usually do, and they'll do fine. Or it can just go undone for a day or a week. It takes even more humility to realize that others may do it differently and maybe even better. Don't you hate when that happens? But it's good for us. It leads us to play, spontaneity, creativity, and ultimately to gratitude. If we make space for the goodness of life to creep into our awareness, we cannot help but be grateful. It's what we feel lying in a hammock in a gentle breeze. It's our response to being overwhelmed by the love of family or friends surrounding us as we sing together or eat together, or tell old stories that everyone already knows. It's not really about a particular time in the summer or a particular day of the week or even a particular event in our lives like a vacation. We can do vacation wrong. As Wendell Berry describes in his poem Vacation, in which a man so diligently videotapes his trip down a river for a later memory that he manages to entirely miss actually experiencing his vacation itself. No, that's not the way. The way is to be in it. To be in the moment. Sabbath or not, vacation or not, home, away. Summer, winter, spring, fall. To be in that moment is core to all religious traditions. Alan Watts quoted the Tang master Lin Chi as saying, "In Buddhism, there is no place for using effort. Just be ordinary and nothing special. Eat your food, move your bowels, pass water, and when you're tired, go and lie down. The ignorant will laugh at me, but the wise will understand." Jesus said, "Consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin, yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these." And my favorite teacher, the Chinese Taoist Zhuangzi, said, "Do not be an embodier of fame. Do not be a storehouse of schemes. Do not be an undertaker of projects. Do not be a proprietor of wisdom. Embody to the fullest what has no end, and wander where there is no trail. Hold on to all that you have received from heaven, but do not think you have gotten anything. Be empty. That is all." May you make time in your life to play. May the riches of living wash over you spontaneously. May your heart know both gratitude and humility. May your life be composed of one moment after another of wonder, goodness, beauty, and awe.